The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to Luke. In those days, a decree went out from Emperor Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration and was taken while Quirinius was governor of Syria. All went to their own towns to be registered. Joseph also went from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to the city of David called Bethlehem, because he was descended from the house and family of David. He went to be registered with Mary, to whom he was engaged and who was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for her to deliver her child, and she gave birth to her firstborn son, and wrapped him in bands of cloth and laid him in a manger because there was no place for them in the inn. In that region, there were shepherds living in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. Then an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for see, I am bringing you good news of great joy for all the people. To you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You will find a child wrapped in bands of cloth and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth, peace among those whom he favors." The Gospel of the Lord.
Glory to you, God, whose power working in us is always doing more than we could ask for or even imagine. Amen. Last Sunday was the fourth Sunday of Advent. And Monday, as I began driving into the office here, I turned on FM 103.5 and began listening to Christmas music all during the week, going here, going home, going on errands, going to Sprouts, going to Trader Joe's, always had Christmas music on. This morning, I turned on FM 103.5, and when I heard "Run, Rudolph, Run" by Chuck Berry, I said, "I need to be in a different place." And I turned it off. And then I turned to the dining room table, which I have set for tomorrow. I'll have family over. And in the middle of the table, I had this living Christmas tree, which I got as a gift this week. And all of a sudden it struck me that we have received a living faith, which led me to an email I received this week. And in this email, I found out that from 1558 until 1829, Roman Catholics in England were not permitted to practice their faith openly. This was after the Great Reformation. And during that period, the Church of England, which had separated from Rome in the 16th century, was taking hold all through England. No longer was the Pope in charge of the Church of England. And so these Catholics wanted their living faith to also be preserved. So they wrote a Christmas carol, which I know that you know. It's the 12 Days of Christmas. And in this Christmas carol, Is our living faith preserved by these 12 different verses? This was a catechism for the kids and for the adults. Did you know that the partridge in the pear tree is Jesus Christ? The two turtle doves are the Old and New Testament. The three French hens, faith, hope, and love. Four calling birds are the four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And the five golden rings, the first five books of the Torah. At this point, I pause. Last Sunday, at 5 o'clock, we had caroling in front of our church. We had s'mores and pizza. The youth group was there. We had Jeannie leading us, and Clayton was on the guitar, and Jane was on the piano, and we sang the 12 days of Christmas. And every time we sang, five golden rings, the youth group would stand up and do five. But I don't know if they knew they were talking about the first five books of the Bible. Six geese a-laying stood for the 6 days of creation. Seven swans a-swimming, representing the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Prophecy, serving, teaching, exhortation, giving, leadership, and mercy. The eight maids a-milking, eight beatitudes. Blessed are they who are poor in spirit, those eight. Nine ladies dancing are the nine fruits of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. The 10 lords a-leaping, the 10 commandments. The 11 pipers piping, the 11 faithful disciples. And the 12 drummers drumming symbolize the 12 foundational points in the Apostles' Creed. That song, the 12 days of Christmas, is almost 500 years old, and it's meant to be a part of a living faith that all of us have inherited. And they preserve this because they wanted to keep being a witness to the faith. Some of them, many in England and throughout the world and even today, die for our living faith, are martyrs for our living faith. It's profound to think about that aspect of it, that people are willing to die, and we sit here tonight. But there's a second Christmas carol that has touched me deeply besides the 12 days of Christmas. When I first heard it a couple years ago, I was mesmerized. I saw it on Facebook. It was the Pentatonix singing, Mary, Did You Know? We're going to hear it this evening as our offertory anthem. But there is a particular verse that really, really touches me. Mary, did you know that when you kiss your baby boy, you will kiss the face of God? And the reason it struck me, the mystery of Christmas is that God became one of us. Jesus gave us his Spirit to be in us. When we kiss anybody, we kiss the face of God. A third Christmas carol that's become a part of my heart this particular year, we're going to hear it during communion. O Holy Night. For me, it answers why God chose to become one of us. There's this verse in the first part of that hymn. till he appeared, and the soul felt its worth. The answer to why God became one of us is because you are worth it. You are worth it. And the soul felt its worth. We're involved in a living relationship. And just like each Christmas carol is unique and different, different singers, different groups take on the heritage of Christmas carols that we have received, each of us will express our faith in a unique way. And please do. It's worth it. Someone else needs to be touched by the God in you. And I was touched by a story, a true moment that happened this week. It was in the beginning of the week. I was talking to my neighbor. He was not able to take care of his daughter. His wife had gone to work, so the neighbor on the other side took care of Ellie for the day. Ellie is 3 years old. So Duane came back, went into the house that night. There was Ellie. There was Darlene, our neighbor, taking care of her. And before Duane walked out of the house, Darlene said to Ellie, "Come over here. Look at my nativity set. Look at my beautiful set under the tree. Ellie, is anything missing?" And Ellie looked into the nativity set and looked up and said, "Jesus is missing. Jesus is not in the set." And Darlene said to Ellie, "Well, where is Jesus?" And Ellie paused and thought and said, "Jesus is in my heart." That is it tonight. That is what we celebrate, that Jesus is in each of your hearts. That is why it is a Merry Christmas. Can you let that profound gift deepen like you never have before? For some reason, the grace of God has touched me this year that I'm really, really holding on to that. Jesus is in my heart. Jesus is in your heart. And when I hug you or shake your hand or give you a kiss, I'm kissing, I'm touching Jesus. May you live the mystery of your faith. And in the next 12 days of Christmas, appreciate what you have inherited. And ask yourself, did you know? Like the song, "Mary, did you know?" All that Jesus has done for you. And then remember, on this kind of holy night, that the soul found its worth. And that God is saying to each of you, "I became one of you because you are worth it." Amen.